You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Life of an Accounting Droid. Your host, as always, Neil here. For episode 10, we got a very packed episode of special new segment after the break. An announcement coming soon in a couple of days after this episode airs. Check out, or be sure to listen through the end of the episode for that announcement. But I will not really delay it too much longer. A lot of news to get through, especially on the mobile side of things. So jump through that, and then a special feature review for this week rather than a app review or anything like that. It is with an asterisk because it seems to only work on one specific browser than all three, so I'm not sure about the rollout there, but it is a pretty cool feature at that. So with that, I'll jump right into it. So for this particular episode, I figured the theme based on all the news coming out, and especially for the TV show review this week, I went with Contra accounts. It just reminded me of a lot of the duality, flip sides of things, different points of views, that sort of thing. So that's where they kind of come into play, and they're kind of related. So, in short, a contra account, though, is an account that's used to offset transactions within a specific account. So, for example, if your normal transaction is a debit or increases the value of an account, a contra account is a special account that credits the account, so it does the opposite, or basically reduces the value and does the opposite of what the original transaction is meant to do in that account. And then it also works in the reverse way as well. So if a natural transaction is a credit or reduction for that account, then a contra account would be the debit or increasing in value for that account. In general, it's used for things like correcting accounting errors or reduce the value of an asset, like for depreciation or accumulated depreciation. It's not used much else outside of the accounting realm of things for the most part. In the normal course of business, if you're going to reduce the value of an account, for example, inventory, you're going to issue a credit, or you're going to issue a debit for credit side of things, so on the payables and things like that. So it's basically internal issues, corrections, errors, things like that. So that's all there is for that. So I'll jump into the news topics for this week. Like I said, a lot of things to go through, so I will jump right into it. More I want to say on the tech news side or the other non-Android side of things, mostly because of the news from IFA. So I'll of course start it off with Android news. So to start it off, Google Search, in one of its releases for this week, is now helping users in San Francisco to connect people with local handymen. So if you do a search for plumber or how to fix your faucets, then you'll get local results for plumbers or handymen or fix-it shops in your area. So you can, if something is out of your realm of fixing, or you don't have the time, or you want to have someone do it for you, it'll be that much more easy to help you find businesses in your area. This week, the Google On Companion app was released for the On Hub router that was released last week by Google. So if you happen to have one already, or you already purchased one, then this app will help you manage your router settings and features and various other controls. For those of you who use web hosting on Google or host your website on Google Drive, it's going to be deprecated. So some of the features will slowly start to roll back and go away. So in case you're wondering why things don't work or something weird is happening, that is why. So it's basically time to move on to some other web hosting site. So maybe build it on Google Sites or start using Blogger or WordPress or Squarespace, anyone else who can help host a website. Exposed module got an update this week to now support Lollipops for Android 5.0 and above. So definitely check that out in case you guys want to extend some of the functionality of your device. As always, in the case of exposed module and ruining your device, be careful, as things may not always go properly if you don't follow the instructions. This week, Google updated their logo and various icons across its services and apps. So look out for that in case you're wondering what why it looks a little bit different, is basically to reflect the ever-changing nature of the company and their products and services. So it's pretty cool. It's a little bit more simplified and flat colors and things like that. I read a funny comment that it looked like a Google Doodle for someone drawn with crayons. So in case you're wondering kind of what it looks like there, but that's the reason for the change. They're kind of basically updating their logo and app icons and things like that to reflect the changing times. For those of you who like Huawei devices, they announced the Mate S this week. It's a device with a 5.5-inch screen, a rear fingerprint scanner, 13-megapixel camera, 8-megapixel front camera, 3 gigs of RAM, 32 or 64 gigs of storage, a 2700 milliamp-hour battery, Android 5.1.1, and comes with Force Touch, so a solid mid to high-range device. High-range is probably more the RAM, is generally more RAM than we see, but overall a pretty good device in case you like with your devices. This week, the second-gen Moto 360 was announced. That's the Motorola smartwatch. It comes now with a 1.37-inch or 1.56-inch screen, a Qualcomm Snapdragon 400 processor, 512 megabytes of RAM, 4 gigs of storage, a 300 milliamp or 400 milliamp-hour battery, which does support wireless charging, has a heart rate monitor, and a new feature called Live Dials, which allows you to pin apps for quick access on your watch face. So if you need to, if you're always checking your email or always use WhatsApp or Hangouts or whatever, you can pin those apps. And then a new service called Moto Body, which is a new fitness companion hub for tracking your steps, calories, and heart rate. In other news though, Google Docs, Sheets, and Slides got updated with voice dictation. Research to search Google without leaving a document, and this is for any of the three properties. I think originally it was only part of Google Docs, but now it's available everywhere. And improved change tracking, so if you do collaborate or use Google Drive to collaborate on documents, you should now have more granular support there, so look out for that. This was just in time for the start of the new school year, so definitely worth checking out some of the new features. Do button by If This Then That got updated and now support Android Wear. So if you want to set a Do button on your smartwatch or Android Wear smartwatch, you can now do that to initiate tasks that much easily. Skype for Android got an update this week as well to now have a more material design look rather than the Windows 10 look. So it looks a lot more native on that front. XDA member V6SER, I assume his visor, made a post that it looks like Amazon bootloader unlock codes may be coming soon in an email exchange he had with Amazon customer service as far as getting some codes and unlock features and things like that for his device. So looks like it may be something that may be available. The importance for this is that having the bootloader unlocked would make it that much easier for ROM developers and tinkerers to play with the phone. T-Mobile made an announcement this week that video calling is now going to be available. They're rolling it out first on the Samsung Galaxy S6 Plus and the Note 5. It'll be available over Wi-Fi and LTE with seamless switching between the two connections, as well as automatically and seamlessly switching down to audio if the network speed becomes too slow. Chrome got updated this week with more efficient tab launching and the ability to free up unused memory as it detects that it's not being used, and as well as rolling out the auto pausing of flash based content, which did roll out on September 1st, but that should now be an option. It's just update your browser, restart it, and you're good to go. And finally, the 2016 Honda Accord and Pilots are going to come built in with Android Auto as well as Android 4.2.2 Jelly Bean. So if you want a full Android interface on your device, then that will now be available, as well as the ability to connect to your smartwatch. But that is all for that. So as far as other tech news goes, and other T-Mobile news, they're going to start going after those people who are finding hacks and workarounds to get extra data via their tethered plans and other illegitimate means. So basically, as they find people, they'll be giving warnings. If they continue to do that, then they'll be moved to a limited 4G LTE plan where they can essentially scale back network speeds and that sort of thing. So basically, for the bulk of us, it's not a big deal, but Essentially, they're cracking down on people who might make it hard to, or basically bring a bad reputation for people who do use a high data connection in general. This week, PayPal launched a new service called PayPal.me. It's a new personalized URL tool for donations and personal money transfers. So if you want to set up your own URL, you basically go there, you select the name you want. If you already have an account, you can sign into your existing PayPal account or create a new one, and you're good to go. You do have two options, a personal setup, so you can, if it's more for family or friends transfers, and then another one for goods and services. So if you are selling product, then that, or selling product more often or primary, or as your primary and only use, then you can go that route. If you do select the personal option, so for family and friends transfer, you do get the option of having a checkbox for goods and services. So if you are doing it both ways, or for example, if you do sell goods and then you also are doing personal transfers on the same account, you can have that box checked. So basically the PayPal insurance and liability policy kicks into place for the goods selling and buying and selling, so things like that. So something to consider. I have set one up myself. It's pretty easy to set up. It's just simply paypal.me/patelhin01. But there will be news on that coming up as well. In pretty exciting news, Android Wear is now updated to support iOS. So if you do have an Android Wear device or prefer that over the Apple Watch and you're on an iOS device, then it is now supported. It does currently require the iPhone 5, 5C, 5S, 6 or 6 Plus, and iOS 8.2 or higher. So basically a newer version of the iPhone at the moment. But at the moment, if you are interested in getting an Android Wear device, then you can now use it with your iPhone. Google Plus for iOS got an update this week to now also support, got updated with the ability to support collections, so you can browse them, view them, and do all of that good stuff in the mobile app. This week it was announced that Amazon, Netflix, Microsoft, Mozilla, and several other companies are going to be working together on a new next generation video format called the Alliance for Open Media. It's an open source alliance, so it should be something that can be adopted by different, or just about anybody, is as the presumption. So that hopefully we'll see something new and that's available for use on multiple platforms. Samsung announced the Gear S2 and the Gear S2 Classic this week. It's their version of the Android smartwatch. It's their smartwatch that runs on Tizen OS. They come with a 1.2 inch display, 1 gigahertz processor, 4 gigs of storage, 512 megs of RAM. They're water resistant and have a 250 milliamp hour battery. They're basically identical as far as both devices themselves go as far as hardware, but the only difference really is various function options and design options, things like that. A new Nest thermostat was announced this week. It now has a 40% bigger display, and it also sits better against the wall, so it looks a little bit more stylish. It has a 2.5-inch diameter and adds the ability to detect overheating issues to signal the need for a furnace repair. Amazon this week announced Kindle Unlimited is being released in India for 199 rupees a month. That's approximately $3. There is a promotion going on for the first month that cuts the price down in half, so about $1.50 a month for the first month. Acer announced two new Windows 10 devices this week. The first is the M330. Oh, and they both run Windows 10 Mobile. I should be specific on that. But the M330 has a 4.5-inch screen, a 1.1 gigahertz quad-core processor, 1 gig of RAM, 8 gigs of storage, a 2,000 mAh battery, 5-megapixel front and rear camera. So I wouldn't say basically a low to high, low, or I guess a low range, low to mid-range device, basically. So nothing too special about it, but if you are looking for a budget smartphone, this was one of them. As far as the Acer M320, it has the same specs, except it has a 2-megapixel front camera and a 5-megapixel rear camera. So If you're even more of a budget, or you don't really care about the camera but the specs are all right, then this is also another option. Lenovo has announced a new Windows 10 tablet called the MIIX 700. It comes with the option to have Windows 10 Home or Pro, up to a 6th generation Intel Core M7 processor, up to 8 gigs of RAM, a 12-inch screen, and a 256-gigabyte SSD, so basically a tablet with the specs of a laptop. Huawei announced a smartwatch this week. It runs or has Android Wear version 1.3, supports Android 4.3 and higher, iOS 8.2 or higher, has a 1.4-inch screen, a 1.2 GHz processor, 4 gigs of storage, 512 megs of RAM, and a 300 mAh battery. And it has the usual array of sensors, so it's accelerometer, heart rate sensor, barometer, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and a microphone. So I didn't see any pricing on it just yet, but in case it's there, but I'm guessing it's going to be around the price range of similar smartwatches. Skype for iOS was also updated along the lines of Android, in that it now has a more native iOS UI, so Microsoft is basically moving away from their Windows 10 look on all devices and having a look that matches the platform that Skype is on. Samsung had a couple of big announcements this week. The first was a new SmartThings smart home automation hub. It's an improvement upon their prior hub in that it has an improved processor and camera, or video camera, supports Android and iOS. It now works with or without an internet connection. Has up to 10 hours of, or the battery supports up to 10-hour backup time, and is on sale for currently for $99. You can get additional sensors as well for $30 to extend the functionality of the smart hub and automate certain features around your house. Samsung also announced the Ultra HD Blu-ray player, which basically multiplies the resolution of Blu-ray by up to 4 times. And it also improves the color resolution to be 64 times the standard color resolution. It has an ability to upscale content from any disc, so I guess it's from DVDs on up, the quality should look that much better. And it does support 4K and HDR video, as well as being Wi-Fi enabled, so probably the ability to stream content. I didn't see anything as far as apps go, but I'm guessing that it will have the ability to install various apps, so things like Netflix and Amazon Instant Video. Google Street View this week was released as a standalone app for iOS, so you can view street views in 360 degrees, as well as create and share your own 360 degree views for wherever you are. And finally, in a random bit of announcement, Firefox for iOS was announced as being in testing in New Zealand. So it's currently basically in an alpha format. They're doing a soft rollout to make sure it works and see it fix any final bugs and things like that. The expected release date for worldwide is later in 2015. And finally, the Amazon Echo got updated to now support shared Google Calendar. So rather than having to manually add or have a weird workaround to get Google Calendars onto the Amazon Echo, you can now natively, as long as it's a shared Google Calendar, you can add it into the Amazon Echo. But that's all there is for that. So after the short break, there'll be the new segment, as well as a feature review, TV show review, and the Star Wars profile. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by you, because you can now help and support the show in 3 awesome and excellent ways. The first is by simply visiting patreon.com/patelN01 and check out some of the great milestone goals and rewards you get by simply donating as much as you're able, be it $1, $5, $20, whatever you feel comfortable with, to help the show expand in ways like adding more posts to the feed, an Android app, and removing ads, that sort of thing. So definitely check it out. That's patreon.com/patelN01. You can also get some great deals and discounts by visiting geek-io.net/support. You can get discounts on Tweaked Audio headphones, so you get some great audio while you listen to podcasts, movies, music, whatever have you. Or even by getting a discount on great security software provided by ProXPN. So definitely check that out. It's definitely worth your while, especially if you're on the geeky, nerdy side of things. Especially if you want to show that fandom and geekiness by wearing a t-shirt provided by T-Fury. So that's geek-io.net/support. Now, finally, let's say you love this show, you want to hear more and listen to more shows like it, you can visit patreon.com/geekio or visit geek-io.net and check out more shows like this and help support the network, help it expand and grow, help us host, do more and provide you with more and continued great content. That's patreon.com/geekio. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show. And welcome back to the episode, everybody. Know a lot of information going on as far as tech news this week. IFA was going on, and I believe it's Spain, Barcelona, I believe it is. So a lot of tech news coming out there. So probably a lot of information to process, but you could always get in touch with me if you want more information. And of course, there's the Journal Select information does have additional links as well. But that is all in the last segment. So for this segment, got a lot of things going on. I'm going to start with a very special new segment. And I will get to a special announcement coming soon as well. If you're a Patreon supporter, then you already know a little bit about that. But at the end of this episode, I'll make that announcement about the future announcement coming soon as well. So with that, I'm going to start with a special new segment for this particular episode called Entertainment News. So in short, this is basically just a brief segment of new and interesting news in the entertainment world. Probably going to be related to Star Wars news, but if there's anything else that looks of particular note related to that week, then I'll include that as well. This week's news is pretty short, just to get the ball rolling, make sure I have everything I need set up and all of that good stuff. So with that, I'll jump right into it. The entertainment news will also include other media that I've been watching. So if I've watched any movies or TV shows or anything like that that I'm not particularly or that I'm not going to review that week, I will include it, but it does not take it off the table as far as reviewing for future episodes. So with that, I will jump right into it. So a couple bits of news this week in relation to Star Wars Rebels, the TV show that's taking place in the time after A New Hope and before The Empire Strikes Back, as far as I remember. But Star Wars Rebels Season 2 is going to air on October, or the premiere is going to air on October 14th, so look out for that. There is a preview already available on the Star Wars YouTube page for called The Lost Commanders, so you can check out some of that, or check out that trailer there. In the other news, though, the Season 1 Blu-ray and DVD is now available as of September 1st, so if you wanted to get the Star Wars Rebels first season on in physical media, you can do that as well. In the other bit of Star Wars news, though, Disney and Sphero, that's S-P-H-E-R-O, are working together to release a remote control version of the BB-8 droid that'll make his premiere or her premiere in Star Wars The Force Awakens. I believe it's going to come out September 4th, but I'm not sure. I didn't see an exact release date, so it might vary by retailer, but it's going to be available online and in a number of retailers. What's pretty cool about this droid is while it is a little bit smaller than the version we're going to see in the movie, it basically is going to function the same, so it's going to roll around the same, have sensor, camera and video and all of that stuff. It's going to be controlled in three ways. Regular driving mode, so kind of like a remote control car, you can drive them around. Also, holographic messaging. I didn't see or understand this completely myself yet, so I'm guessing it's going to be kind of like a video relay, or if it sees something pretty cool, it'll provide an augmented reality style experience. And the last is patrol mode, so I guess it works kind of like a Roomba where it can roll around on its own and look at things and that sort of thing, so it's pretty nifty. It's going to currently be compatible with iOS and Android, so if you have either one of those mobile devices, you'll be able to install an app and control your own remote control BB-8. At the moment, it's going to cost $150, I think more specifically $149.99, so look out for that. I'm already budgeting to buy one myself, so as soon as I get one, I'll start playing with it, but it is, after all, $150, but it is pretty cool and a Star Wars toy, so I can't wait to see it in real life. In other news, if you notice that some of your favorite movies are no longer going to be on Netflix, Netflix and Epic are ending their current partnership for their movies and TV shows that are showing on Netflix. So I think one of the big name movies was one of the Hunger Games movies, so that is why. There were talks or rumors that Epic is going to be partnering with Hulu, so we'll see exactly what happens there or if something changes last minute. But in case you're wondering why some of the Epic movies and TV shows are no longer on Netflix, it's because their existing deal has expired. And finally, as far as the news goes, Pandora is set to go ad-free on September 9th for its 10-year anniversary. So if you're wondering why on September 9th you're not getting any ads or anything like that, that is why. So, but it's probably also in hopes as a promotion that you buy Pandora 1. I did try it out for a little while. I couldn't keep it in the budget to keep paying for it, but it was actually pretty cool. It was nice to not have ads in my audio and have a slightly better audio quality. So it is worth paying for if you do have the budget for it. So definitely check it out. Otherwise, though, this week I had a chance to watch Hell on Wheels Season 5, Episode 7. It's a mid-season finale called False Prophets. Basically, a summary of the episode, which is for, I believe, the IMDb version of it, in that is that Cullen and Durant meet with President Grant to discuss the future of the railroad, and the Swede puts his plan against the Mormons in action. So basically, part of the episode is tailored to Cullen going around talking to the president, the owner of the Union Pacific and the Central Pacific Railroads, and the head of the Mormon Church. I forget his name offhand, but he's going around trying to get a feel for what each of them wants, what they hope to achieve, why Cullen and the president should put their support behind each of their own plans, why the railroad should go through Salt Lake City instead of through the oil mines, and all of that. So a pretty good resolution by the end of the episode, and a pretty good I liked the acting by Cullen in this case, or especially in this episode, because of all the basically it was giving him his headache and all that, and having to decide what would be the best way to go about it. So definitely worth checking out. I enjoy the mid-season finale, and I believe it continues again next year, so can't wait for it to come back. Otherwise, though, I actually also started watching the first season of Extant. That's the TV show with Halle Berry. It's actually pretty good. I saw a commercial on TV last weekend for it, and I found out that all of season one's on Amazon Instant Video, and most of the second season is also available. So I figured I'd give it a shot, see if it was any good or worth a shot or anything like that. And it's actually pretty decent, and it keeps getting better with each episode. It's a twofold storyline at the moment for the first season. The first is Halle Berry's return from a 13-month mission in space and the resulting fallout from her getting pregnant. And actually, I should specify a solo 13-month mission. So that storyline is actually decent enough. It's not a bad storyline, but I actually like the other storyline more, in that her husband has started a android AI project called Humanic. So he created his own android with an artificial intelligence for a child, and rather than going the route of programming anything and making a data from Star Trek style android, they're treating the robot like an actual child, trying to have him grow at the pace of a child, and the resulting issues with that. So I'm actually liking that more and more, especially with the last episode. I think episode 7, where he actually learned or taught himself Japanese. It wasn't programmed into him, so they're trying to figure out that whole dilemma of how he learned to do that on his own. So pretty intriguing, and the storyline as far as Halle Berry's pregnancy in the show is pretty decent. She's actually going about it, so it's more of a sci-fi drama thriller as far as that goes. So it's pretty good. It's not bad as far as I can tell. I can't wait to see more there, but the Android side of things is actually pretty good. So I'm hoping to so probably by the middle of next week I should have season one done, and I'll get right into season two. I know I was going to continue watching the HBO Western show that's on currently on Instant Video. But I figure Hell on Wheels was good enough for now. I'll probably continue that after Extant, see how that goes, and see what else comes up in my queue and recommendations. Otherwise, I know that the 2014, I believe, version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles it was released on Amazon Instant Video. So if you have Prime, you can stream it for free. I might make that a watch this weekend or something. I know I watched it originally in the theaters, and I figure I'll watch it again, hopefully not before it's pulled, but see if I liked it any more or less this time around. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's feature review, and it's a little bit more on the fun, quirky side, but it is actually pretty cool. And it's a part of Google search that provides you with random facts. Testing it out a little bit, I tried it in Chrome, the Google search app, the latest version, and on Firefox, and it only actually seems to work as a result in Google Now and Chrome. So I'm not sure if they're going to roll it out to other browsers or if it just didn't work in my tests on Firefox. So that, a little bit of a disclaimer there. But let's say you're into getting random facts, or you're on a road trip and you want to have a point of conversation, then what you can do is either do a Google search for fun facts. So just without the quotes, just type fun and facts, and you'll get a random bit of information. And if you click ask another question, you'll get more facts. You can just keep pushing it as a random generator sort of way of getting random facts. And if you want to get more information on whatever topic it provides, there's a nice list and Google results as far as more information. You'll also notice if you do go this route that after you hit ask another question, that the search result changes to I'm feeling curious. So doing a search initially for this as well will give you the same results. So you can do a search for I'm feeling curious and you'll get a random fact that way as well. So pretty cool. Definitely worth checking out. So it's a pretty interesting rabbit hole, especially if you are interesting rabbit hole if you want to go down that route, if you just like getting random facts. And so, as I said, it worked for me only in Chrome and Google Now. So I'm not sure why it didn't work in Firefox. I'll assume just based on that it didn't work in, or doesn't work in Safari either, but I'm not sure. But it's always worth a shot. It might just be a slow rollout. After all, for me, it only worked initially in Google Now and not in Chrome. So they're probably rolling it out over the next couple of days. So I'll also have a link in the show notes to the YouTube version so you can see exactly what I did and how I went about that route. It's pretty simple and straightforward, as I mentioned, so if you like getting facts, then definitely check it out. But that's all for that. So with that, I will jump right into this week's TV show review. So I actually had a chance to watch the series finale for Falling Skies, so season 5, episode 10, Reborn. I actually didn't know that it was a series finale. I thought it was just a plain old season finale, but apparently there's going to be no more Falling Skies after this, so definitely worth watching the series. I did actually enjoy all 5 seasons. I couldn't really say too much bad about it, but in this case, they did a good job in that they left me wanting more. So with that, I'll jump right into the review and my thoughts on the episode. So season 5, episode 10, aired in the United States on August 10th, 2015. It has a summary. The final standoff brings the Masons, the 2nd Massachusetts, and their new allies into the bowels of an iconic American location, wrought with new and unpredictable obstacles. Despite great loss along the way, they must persevere with hopes of once and for all reclaiming Earth and humanity. This particular episode was directed by, I'm probably going to say this wrong, so forgive me but it's directed by Olatunde Osunsami. I probably said that totally wrong, but he's also known for directing Smoking Aces 2, Assassin's Ball, so he knows how to... I haven't seen it myself, but if reputation precedes itself, or at least the first of Smoking Aces, that he knows how to make a good, exciting, dramatic show. So definitely worth a shot, or worth a watch. At the last check, the IMDb rating was at 74%. It might have a slight change here and there. I want to say that I was on par, probably pretty close. I want to say I'd probably put it at more of 80%, in that because there were a couple of scenes that didn't like or kind of missed anything, but then also the way that, or based on how some of those scenes were closed out, I'm glad that they resolved them, but I also saw how, sorry about that, saw how they could have pulled out another season, but it probably would have probably could have gone down the Stargate SG-1 route where it's just yet another obstacle to overcome. So my first issue with this episode was that must there be a campfire scene? So I figure at this point everyone's really focused on the final stand against the Shreni, and they want to prepare, get everything right. But they did put in a campfire scene, which worked well. They didn't spend too much on it. They had Tom Mason giving his motivational speech, his thank yous, that sort of thing. No one else really spoke. So it was a good... It was a mix of reminiscing, thank you, motivation, and all that. So it worked well, but to me, just... I don't know, I didn't like the... to me, it didn't seem like a campfire scene. It just seemed like a campfire scene to me. For me, it would have probably worked a little bit better if they went the route of the Independence Day scene where we had the president giving his speech about Independence Day and that and what they're there to do and that they're fighting for their freedom. So it might have been seen on that route, I guess, as a ripoff, but I could have seen it if they had done it as well as they did the campfire scene, I would have enjoyed it just the same. Next up, though, when we have Tom Mason being held captive by the Shreni Queen, and he dropped the poison cylinder thing that would have infected all the Shreni, I kind of found it weird that the Queen didn't notice or see or hear or anything like that as far as him trying to grab the cylinder itself. It seems like she could only hear Tom when she was right in front of him. If she was off behind the Lincoln Monument, then she couldn't hear a thing or anything like that. It didn't seem like Tom was doing any, like, he seemed like he was exerting himself and trying, he was making enough noise to the point where the Queen would have heard him. And I figure that if Tom is that big of a threat to the Shreni, she would have taken care of Tom or covered his mouth, or I don't know, she would have been pestering him more, trying to kill him off and convert him that much quicker. But that kind of bothered me. I like how it ended itself just because the good guys win and all that, but this scene just seemed kind of weird in that the Queen obviously can hear, so why didn't she hear Tom exerting himself? I also during this episode, when they're all of the Second Massachusetts is going through the subway tunnels, that it seemed awfully convenient that no one accidentally hit the Overlord eggs. So it just seems like, so this is actually one of those good things that they did where they didn't accidentally have anyone hitting the eggs. So it worked out very conveniently for them. So that's my flip side to this. And also, since Anne Mason was hit with shrapnel and she was actually she was having trouble keeping up, it would have seemed convenient here for me where I could have seen they pulled out another season where she was in so much pain that she fell over, hit one of the eggs, and we find out that the eggs are actually not an Overlord, but another breed of Ashveni, where they're more of the Queen's siblings, which, as we learned, Ashveni actually had come to Earth a number of years back as an invasion from the Queen's daughter. So I figured maybe it was more of the Queen's offspring or something like that, that was more terrible than an Overlord. But as it turns out, it was played off as the Overlords, who are more angry as youths than their adult forms. So that's basically that. I mean, I could have seen how they could have, this would have for me been that pivot point where rather than end the series here, they could have pulled out another season of Enemies and gone that route. But finally, we left it. I figured that by the end of the series, we have Tom Mason becoming a professor at the university again and going that route. But the way that it seemed, or based on the speech he gave, I wasn't sure if he actually became the professor again or president of the world, because he did make note that it said that at this point of rebuilding, it would be better if they rebuilt as a planetary civilization rather than by nations. So I figured, and based on the riveting speech, so to speak, that maybe he is the president, or maybe he is the de facto leader for now, even though he may not want to be. So I wasn't sure there, but I did like how they ended it. So it does leave it as a maybe an offshoot series of what comes next, or maybe they are going to do a tie-in on the librarians or something, where that is why he can't be the librarian, or he can't be a librarian anymore, or something like weird like that. So, but that's all speculation on my part. I actually did like the way the series ended. I did like the show overall as well, as far as what they did with the harnesses on the children, the progression they made as far as finding out about the overlords, Tom's issues, Tom and Anne's daughter, and all of that good stuff. So definitely worth watching the show. I do recommend it, and check it out. So with that, I will jump into this week's Star Wars profile. Actually, before I jump into that, I didn't mention the tie-in with this week's theme, where Tom is one of those people, and even with Dan, the general or the colonel in the 2nd Massachusetts, they were good at showing their dilemmas in a lot of the situations, where the good of, as far as basically the good of the many versus the good of the one, and vice versa. We did have Pope this season, in season 5, bring up a lot that Tom has changed, and he would have helped anyone no matter who it was, but it seems that Tom changed in season 5 as far as looking at the bigger picture, but he kept some of his old personality, where he did care enough to go after people, even though he might not have been able to do it right then. So it's basically that duality where they did consider a lot of they wanted to keep their eye on the prize and finish off the war as soon as possible and get it done as fast as possible. But that's all for that. So for this week's Star Wars profile, it's actually more of a lightsaber form than an object or a person or a location or anything like that. And so I got to thinking, what would be the best Star Wars, or what a Star Wars idea that reflects a Contra account, where you have an offset to the traditional way of doing things. And I got to remembering I forget which novelization I read in the Star Wars universe, but they mentioned the diplomat's form, which is actually Form 6 lightsaber combat. So, and there's actually a bit of history behind it, so that's where I decided to go. So a bit of key information about Form 6, the diplomat's form, is that it's also otherwise known as Niman, the Way of the Rancor, or the Moderation form. It was actually known first as a Niman because it was created by I'll get to that in a bit, but it was recreated by a race of people as a form of combat. So it is actually by definition a hybrid martial arts form that basically combines the strengths and removes as many of the disadvantages of the prior lightsaber form, so forms 1 through 5. So essentially, while it's very balanced and has very few inherent flaws in it, it is actually very it does require a lot of exertion and balance and mastery of the force in order to use it well and properly. But since it is a balanced force or balanced form in that it uses a lot of other forms, it doesn't have any particular special advantage or disadvantage, since it's kind of moderating everything and having as few issues within it as possible and holes to get through. So it does actually rely quite a bit on the user's intuition and creativity in order to have maximum effectiveness. So if using it just as a means of fighting, it is not necessarily better or worse, but it can get you out of a pinch, but not necessarily particularly useful if you don't have much creativity. So I'll get to that in a little bit, where it's used in a specific Star Wars movie. So a bit of background on the form is that it was originally practiced by the Royal Matutero of the Kashmir Dynasty. Is basically used by the people as a means of fighting, swordsplay, that kind of thing. So they used it as a means of having the most effective means of fighting, but a few errors, and giving it their opponents very little means of getting into or fighting back against this particular fighting style. It was originally adopted by original Darkseid users, but later the Jedi Order, after the First Great Schism, It was actually also adopted by Exarchoon as the most most favored lightsaber form because of the power that it represented. But in general, it was not used by dark side users, which I'll get to in a second. But Exarchoon is actually most notable in this case for this form because he was the only dark side or the most well known dark side user to use this form. So a little bit about the form itself. It was used primarily by the Jedi and preferred by the Jedi because it emphasized harmony and peace without having to resort to power. So it flowed naturally from their view of the Force. So that's actually kind of why dark side users generally did not use it, because it was more of not necessarily passive, but relied on the positive good side and light side of the Force rather than the dark side and using power and dominion over other people or other users. It was also preferred by Jedi Consulars, as Consulars generally relied and studied, or actually focused on study and peacekeeping, so this form actually emphasized their general outlook on life as well. So person or Jedi was getting into combat with another person and they were using Form 6, there was a good chance that they were a Jedi Consular. Other Jedi used it as well, but Consulars were the primary users. The form had three main opening forms. We actually did see two of the stances in the movie, sort of. But the three main opening forms were a wide and open stance. The second is the blade held high and feet wide. And the third was blade low with feet close together. So saw this form being used by Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Both were avid users of this form. Because of the, not necessarily limitations, but the way that the form was set up, it was often used with force push and force pull because of its, not necessarily limitations, but because it did not focus on any particular means of attack, it didn't need other means to augment its ability. So generally users of this form use force push and pull quite a bit, as we saw with Obi-Wan Kenobi's fight against General Grievous. The most notable issue in this case, not necessarily achievement, is that many Jedi by the time of the Clone Wars practiced this form, but it didn't work under the pressure of the Clone Wars, so they were forced to adopt other measures of attack as well. We saw the particular failing of this attack during the Battle of Geonosis due to the open nature of combat and the high pressures of warfare. So the reason a lot of Jedi as well died during the initial battle of Geonosis is because this form didn't necessarily work well in this format as far as open battle. So it did need a lot more form of attack and aggression and more forward attack. That's kind of why we see Mace Windu surviving, because he did not necessarily use his form. We also have Obi-Wan surviving and Anakin surviving amazingly, most likely because they're the heroes of the movies, but also because they have more of a creativity and other means of keeping themselves in balance and using this form. So we see them surviving, but many Jedi didn't necessarily have as much creativity as the other heroes, so that's most likely why they failed. A bit of a fun fact about this form is that Count Dooku actually trained General Grievous in this form. So General Grievous, while he may not have been proficient in the form, he did have a training in it. So I assume that when he was fighting Obi-Wan Kenobi, that they were fighting in the same form. But he actually also trained his Magna Guards in the same form. And because they are droids, they probably became effective in the form very easily, and that's why they were very difficult to fight against, mostly because of their strength. They were able to overcome other Jedi who may have been using this form or not, who may not have been skilled in this as the Magna Guards. But it's probably also kind of interesting to note that they also probably failed at the hands of a more skilled Jedi in this form, because they didn't have the Force. So while they had raw strength on their side, using the Force provided a sort of advantage if Jedi could be using Force push or pull or any other Force power to add something to their advantage. But that is all for this particular episode of Life of an Accounting Droid. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com, or you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. And of course, all links can be found on the website at PatelN01.com. And of course, if you like this show or any other show or want more shows on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. And of course, the announcement that I teased earlier on is that I'm going to have a state of the podcast post in the next few days or so. I anticipate prior to next week's episode, I'll have it up. At the moment, I'm planning on doing a video and audio version, so it will show up on the feed as well as on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/patelin01. So look out for that. But you'll see it on the website, the feed, Twitter, the Facebook group, Google+, all of that. So look out for that coming soon. So that was a big announcement there. It'll basically just be updates and news and things like that about the show, where we're at, all of that good stuff. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.